Good morning. You sang those songs like you sounded like you needed to sing those songs. That was great. Thanks, folks, for leading us. Want to let you know that we were planning a fire grill today, but we forgot we were going to have guests in the lobby, so we didn't want you rushing past our guests out into the parking lot. So another time we'll do that, because we want to make sure we're taking care of everybody while you're here, and that's all good. My name is Bill Greiner. If you're visiting, I'm the pastor here, and it's an honor to serve here with these wonderful people, and it's an honor to be able to open up God's Word as the speaker and the presenter is terribly flawed, and it's a joy to be able to be entrusted with God's Word. We're in the second week of a series called "Be a Bridge, Build a Bridge." And if you've been around here, you know that phrase. If you don't, that's kind of our target. That's kind of, if you want to call it, our mission and vision statement. That's our target. And this series is, if you're hearing it for the first time, you get to hear what we believe God wants us to be about. If you've been here for a long time, this is recalibrating. This is resetting the target so that, because we know as people, we are, as the children of Israel, we are prone to wander, and we are prone to forget the most important things. Remember a utility infielder's batting average from 1975, but we forget what we're supposed to be here for. That's just the kind of people that we are, and so we needed to say these things again. And it may sound repetitive if you've never heard this phrase before, but last week we talked about the be a bridge part. And all the sermons are on the website, on Ertrog website. You can pull that up if you want to hear what you missed. But being comes before building anything. It's who you are. Who you are, who I am, who we are, is then revealed in what we do and ultimately what we build. For you, for me, for us as a group. But you got to be something first. And so we talked about that. We talked about being a bridge is changing the way you view yourself. That we say this phrase all the time, I am one in whom Christ dwells, and I live in his unshakable kingdom. That phrase reminds me who I am and where I live. And if I operate wherever you operate and wherever I go and live and recreate and eat and work and... If I view myself as someone who God wants to use as a bridge to bring other people into relationship with him, if I'm going to view myself as somebody who's actually an ambassador who's been sent, that's where it starts, knowing who I am. And so we kind of tried to drill into that a little bit, that we're designed for this, and we forget that we represent Christ and that he chose to do it that way. Amazingly. And so we got to start with B. But once we know who we are and where we live, then our lives are going to build something. That's a given. How about it being a bridge? How about that? That's what we're going to talk about today in the next few minutes. We want to be about building bridges individually, into people's lives, into our culture, into our world, but also together, cooperating with one another as Eagle Ridge Church of God, strategically building some bridges into our culture, into our community, and into the world. And I'm going to talk about some of those. But here's where it all got started. You know, this is the verse that was that, for me, that itch that you can't get to. It just was prodding me and coming at me, and I challenged you to memorize that, and I'll do that again. Challenge you to memorize these words from Paul, from 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. And if you're visiting, there's always an outline in the worship folder, so you can be actively involved and you can respond to how God is speaking to you, maybe with a pen or or whatever. And I'm going to be reading from New Living Translation. If you're using a device and you want to pull that up, we have open Wi-Fi here. Here's how it goes. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So God sent Jesus as the original bridge so that we could be reconciled, that our sin issue could be reconciled. Okay, let's keep going. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. We're going to keep those words in front of us, because that's what describes be a bridge, and that's what describes build a bridge. And that's all about, you saw the key word, it's reconcile or reconciliation. It's used numerous times and then described by other words. It's a very simple thing. Two enemies, two groups who have something separating them that seems insurmountable. Then you've also got this image of an ambassador. We kind of get what that's about. An ambassador is sent by a leader to another group of people away from his home, away from her home, sent, are you following me, to someone else to speak the words for that leader, to literally represent and speak the words of that leader. That's what an ambassador is. In both of these images, Paul is using them to describe what a Christ follower is supposed to be. We're supposed to be reconcilers, and we're supposed to be ambassadors. And an ambassador basically is a human bridge between the leader that's sent and the people that that leader wants to be in relationship with. But they both have this challenge of going. In both of those cases, you have to go to do it. You can't wait for it to come to you. You have to go. And this is the first part of your outline. Go, don't wait for an invitation. If we're to build bridges, we don't wait to be invited, we go. We've been sent. The person wanting to connect does the work, right? It's like, you know, yeah, you're sitting around, you know, nobody talks to me. No, nobody really visited with me. Well, did you talk to anybody? Well, no. Had my hands crossed. Had a sour look on my face. I think we've come to the issue here. If you want to connect, it's your responsibility. And so we've been challenged to go, and so we're not waiting on an invitation. Our leader, the one we represent, has told us that we need to go. I mean, that's how God operated from the beginning, didn't he? He didn't wait for us to say, hey, you know, we don't have an answer for our sin issue. He said, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. So this is how God operates. He didn't wait to be invited. He goes and then gets in the mix and then sees what happens next. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So we don't wait for an invitation. See, this is the whole crux of this series, is that there's a chasm between people and a God who loves them and created them and desperately wants to be in relationship with him. And we're supposed to be a part of that bridge. We're used in that way. Look at what Jesus, the last words that Jesus, after his resurrection and before his rising into heaven. And like we said before, when somebody says something and their last words before they go, usually pretty important. Okay, one more thing. I need you to make sure you mow the yard. And dad leaves. That mow the yard thing's pretty significant because it's the last thing he said. These are the last things Jesus said. This is from Matthew 28, very familiar. We're playing the hits today. We're not going to be tricky. We're playing the hits from the Bible. Okay, these are the sweet spots. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth." Jesus said, "This all, it's mine. And guess what? I'm going to choose you to do what I've already started doing." Then he goes on. "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So in that make disciples thing, the primary command or imperative isn't make disciples. It's go. That's the primary command. Everything else follows that. We're supposed to go. An ambassador goes, leaves home, and speaks on behalf of the leader that sent him. It does not say, build a building, gather together, invite people to it, and make disciples. It doesn't say that. Now, inviting people, we want you to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. But inviting can never be a substitute for an ambassador. An ambassador always goes. You can't trade that off. Or we're not ambassadors. Building a bridge that other people can walk across so they can experience the love, the forgiveness, the purpose, and the fellowship that who are in Christ get to experience. But it starts with go. See, the rest of the stuff, as a famous comedian and TV show once said, is blah, 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 if we skip the go part. That's job number one. So where do we build? This is the part, if you're on a team, you know, you come in, everybody puts their hands in the huddle, and okay, one, two, three, and then you shout your team name. We call that, then what happens next, we call that breaking the huddle. You break the huddle to go. So what do we do when we break the huddle? Where do we go? And I'm going to give you a few things here. First one is, first clue of where we go is where there's brokenness and need. We just look around and see, okay, where is there signs of brokenness or need? And that's where we're supposed to go. Now, the three organizations that we've invited here, that we've brought before you before, that's a part of why we wanted, and Matt got this started, of having a relationship with these groups, because they really fit the person going and being a bridge and building into somebody's life. They all have that part of them. Adoption option. With kids that are in foster care and in process of being adoption, and some that have been in the system for a really long time, receiving the love of Christ, getting them with people who love Jesus and want to walk alongside them, and Forgotten Man Ministry, men and women coming out of our local jails who have met Christ in when they were incarcerated, and then transitioning as a disciple of Jesus Christ outside of that environment with us. Really important. And then Young Lives, that works with teenage moms and gives them the resources and has people walking alongside them who love Jesus. And actually, their home base is our building now. So we're really, really excited about that. So these are opportunities where we can see brokenness and need. So we're in one way, we can look for those individually, but we're teeing those up for you. So you can see, okay, here's an opportunity. And I really want to challenge you to go by and see their tables and just meet. No arm twisting, just meet, say hello, hear a little bit about, see what God breaks your heart for. And then in October, we'll be looking at some other organizations that are Faith Promise Ministries, Open Door, Share, which is, they're also home-based here, the Share summer camp program, Pregnancy Resource Center, and Caregiving Network. And interestingly enough, maybe you've heard that we're going to get a new neighbor across the meadow beside us into the woods. That's Shelter House is going to be our new neighbor. And I, you know, I happen to have an inn there. My wife works there. It's not a Christian organization, but we're going to have opportunities to bless them. They're going to use our building. We're going to have connections with them. So there's great opportunities there where there's need. Women and some men who are in meeting them at the worst point in their life. So we're looking for brokenness and need. That's what God saw in us. That's what God saw in me when he sent Jesus for me. He saw brokenness and need. Mine may look a little different than somebody else's. It's there. It's real. So that's what we're looking for when we're trying to purposely build bridges into our community, into our world, and into people's lives. Where can I do where I'm life on life with somebody? Next part is where God's presence can change the culture. We're not only looking for brokenness and need, but where can the presence of God change the culture? If people like you and me, who are, again, ones in whom Christ dwells, are in the mix somewhere, our presence, bringing the presence of Christ, how can that change the other places that can really change the culture? And some of those that we've been about for quite a while in building bridges is we take a group to Guatemala every year. There's a neighborhood that really didn't exist over 20 years ago. Earthquake happens. People move from the rural areas to the city to try to find something. They squat on these where there's train tracks that aren't used anymore. That's what we call the area of the tracks. And the government says, you know, that's kind of worthless land. You can just have it. So there are all these tin shacks and so forth. How many years, Norm? 14? Okay. I was told there'd be no math, so I'm not even going to try to figure that out. But a long time building block homes to replace those. Now, there's a church there that we're involved with. Now there's a Christian school with over 300 students that is a beacon of hope, a much superior education, and they get Jesus. There are men in that community that are rising up to be spiritual leaders that weren't before. The head of all the construction is a former drunk who came to Christ, and his life and his family have been redeemed. The culture of that area is different because of God's people going. It's not just about us. We have a small part of it, but that's a bridge. That's a different place. There is hope. I can go there, and I can be with a kid with my phone looking at pictures, and I can have that kid playing a game that I don't really understand, or looking at pictures of my phone. I can walk away. I don't have a worry. Hey, where's Juan? Julio, I don't know. Okay, there's my phone, and I can go get it. You walk across the street, literally across the street, if you don't get killed getting across that street, they have the bridges, hello, over there, because it's just deadly. It's all different. I would not wander around over there. The culture has changed. In Uganda, the culture is changing because we have a bridge there. People went there, and they came with resources of how to start micro-businesses, primarily for women, not exclusively, who have been left alone with kids because of the AIDS pandemic. They have resources, and our Pastor Julie Rice Weissman wrote that stuff. And businesses are going to get started. This is going to transform the culture there because God's presence. So that's what we look at. We look at need, we look at brokenness, we look and say, okay, where if God's people go and Christ dwells in them, that the culture can be changed. Those are just two examples. There could be many more. We have missionaries in different groups in other places. Those are the main places where we've sent people. And I really challenge you to be a part of that. Go on one of those trips. Would love to. We're going to be planning a Guatemala trip for the spring, and we'll put those dates out. Would love to have you come. If you don't know how to build anything, you can stand by me, because I don't know how to do anything. I don't own tools, because if you own them, then you'll be expected to use them. That's my strategy, okay? Not embarrassed to say, I do laundry. I can handle that. You don't lose a finger, all right? So where do we build bridges? Here's the next place. We build bridges where there are signs of separation from God. A bridge is spanning a separation, right? If that river, that ravine, that minefield, whatever, if it wasn't there, that deadly road in Guatemala City, you wouldn't need a bridge if you didn't have something separating people, right? So where are there signs of separation from God? So there's an impediment between God, who loves people, and the people who need his forgiveness and love and fellowship. This is where we come back to the God's word said, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We either believe that one or we don't. It really is that simple. If we believe there is separation, and that separation is now, and it causes terrible problems now, because we weren't designed to be separated from our Heavenly Father, but it also has eternal consequences if that person goes into eternity and is separated, and their sin separates them from God. So are we open, even if we don't have it, to God giving us a burden for that? The separation from God is real. We can see some signs of that we can't see. See, if we're not looking signs of separation from God, then maybe we're just trying to build something here that we can protect our families and kids and give some spiritual Novocaine to numb something so we can get through this world and slide into eternity. Heaven forbid. See, there's a gravitational pull in our culture and even in the American church that makes bridge building really difficult. We don't even need to get started on politics. There's no bridges in politics. You pick a side and then you take shots at everybody. That's the way it works. Or you could think about it this way. What would talk us out of all this brash talk of this guy in the pink shirt up here ranting and raving? What would make us get weak in the knees and say, well, you know, maybe we'll just do what we do here and see how that works? See, then those, if we do that, then those words that we've read in from Paul and from then the Great Commission, they become one of two things. They become something charming and idealistic, like on a Hallmark card, but we know we're not going to do it. Or they become something that only like super spiritual people like Bill Greiner, you know, the Navy SEALs of the church, the black ops, the really elite people do. If you're new, that's sarcasm. That's what I do. Throwing it out there, laying it on pretty thick. See, that's what we do to those two verses if we stop building bridges and stop pushing forward. Idealism or... this is just, yeah, that's in the Bible, but it's for special people, and that's not me. This is where we say culture eats vision for lunch. We have to have the kind of culture in our congregation that doesn't fight against bridge building. And God is doing that, and it's exciting to watch. So what would keep us from going and building? First thing is scarcity thinking. You know, that's where we say, I don't have enough, I'm not enough, and it's all based on fear. Then we get fearful that and we better protect what we have. See, scarcity thinking keeps us from sending or releasing. We only collect and hold on to. You hear that? We don't send and release, we only collect and hold on to. That's money, time, and our best people. We'll talk about that when we talk about our core values next week, how we're going to release money and our best people and our time. And if you know our history, we've had crushing building debt forever. And that was a real temptation for us in the past. Now, if you've been around here, we've had a miracle happen. Our good friend Brent Coyne left his estate to Eagle Ridge Church of God. We put a bunch of that money on that, and we're planning to burn a mortgage in January, have a big party. But we started, as scary as it was, hiring a guy when we were broke, building bridges when we're broke. So guess what? Our budget's going to look different next year. It's going to be wildly and ridiculously generous. It's going to be stupid generous. But scarcity thinking gets us like this instead of like this. We built, thanks in large part to Pastor Julie, we built Friendship Park when we were broke. So we got to watch out for that protection. That when we have that feeling like, oh my goodness, it's like, you know, I've said this about before. My wife made me practice what I preach. We went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I have an epic number of Blazing Rewards points. I mean, I am literally on fire with Blazing Rewards points. And my issue was, see, if I spend them, then they're not there anymore. I know that much about math. But I knew I was going to be preaching this sermon. We went there to watch a half of a football game where our team scored like 100 zillion points, and then we went home. But I released some of my Blazing Rewards points, and we actually literally ate them, okay? This is cathartic for me to do that and then to confess that to you. But see, scarcity thinking that it won't be there when I need it, what does that say? I don't really trust God. Okay, he told us to go make disciples. He told us to build bridges. Then he's going to provide what we need, right? Am I being naive or stupid about this? He's going to provide it, what we need. So we can't let scarcity think. The other thing is we can't let attraction as our mission. We can't let that happen. Now, what do I mean by attraction? This is the thing that will get us weak in the need, and we'll avoid building bridges, and we'll start digging moats and building walls. See, building bridges means you have to do work on both sides of the chasm. Understand? You can't just build on one side. You got to go to the other side and do work there, right? Or else it's really not a bridge. Then it's a theme park on one side, and hey, folks, it's awesome over here. Now find a way to get here. Rides and cotton candy. I never really liked cotton candy. It was just kind of gets all over you. I digress. See, then you become then the programs and what we do in our worship service become bait. Like a big pile of carrots that you throw out there, or sugar beets, and then shoot that deer when it comes by. I mean, that's not my kind of hunting. You just stay inside and big pile of something, and then you shoot out the window, and then you go get them. Avoid the snow and all that. And then one of you comes and does the messy part afterward. See, we're attracting them with a piece of cheese. And then they do the work. That's the problem. Being, we call it in church talk, the attractional model. We do some stuff here that attracts people to come to us. I think the first part of this, we're getting that just doesn't work. Attraction as our mission is based on consumerism. We're going to provide something that you need, scratch that itch, and then you'll come, and then we'll get bigger. Here's the thing. Culturally, they don't want our cheese. They don't. Now, they want the forgiveness, the love, the fellowship, the meaning, the peace of a relationship with God. They don't want your cheese. They don't want my cheese. It's like, what's that really stinky kind? It's like Limburger cheese. My dad was the only person on the planet that could eat that stuff. It was so pungent. It's like, please, Dad, put that back in a Ziploc. It's disgusting. They don't want our cheese. 60% of our culture in a survey said they would not come to a church for any reason. 60%. So build a theme park, like the movie, cut down some corn in Iowa, build a baseball field, and then dead people will come back and play baseball. If you don't know the movie, that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of it. It's not a build it and they will come. It's not. That doesn't work anymore. See, when we're afraid of running out and when we simply want to attract people and add them to our numbers, hoarding will take precedence over sending. Then we're building warehouses, not bridges. Remember the guy that wanted to build more barns? Remember that story? See, a church is really supposed to be more like an airport. Oh my gosh, my little spit guard just jettisoned off of it. Julie's always, you can't lose these, but I'll put that right there and it'll be safe. Where was I? Oh, airports. Something shiny. Churches are supposed to be airports. You don't hang out in the airport. You go there to go someplace else. We come here to be sent and released to go build bridges. See, I learned really quickly that I stink at the attractional model. I am terrible at that. It didn't work for nearly 10 years, did it? The folks who've been around here. My cheese was not what people wanted. I'm just not good at that. And you know what? We sat around here going, why aren't we growing? Why aren't we growing? Wrong question. Where do we need to build bridges? That's the question. God put it in my heart and now the hearts of our leaders that we needed together to build a bridge into our culture. And that's one of the reasons we, into our city, and that's one of the reasons we brought Matt here. Youth and outreach. Something that's not simply a conduit so that we can get more people to this location. No. It's a secondary platform for making disciples. What we're going to be doing as making disciples here is going to happen there. We're looking at a coffee shop in the mall. That's what we're working on right now. Money is coming together, legal stuff is coming together, a business plan is done, and the next part is going to be finding people who want to be intentional and relational and be a part of the people's lives that work and go and shop and live around that area and walk in the mornings to connect with those people and build relationships and start discipleship groups. That's what that's about. And maybe that's you. Maybe God's going to speak to you to be a part of that. The next phase is to start putting a team together. That we're going to be doing that. And we'll be releasing some of our best people to go do that. This is not a tract and ad. This is not, let's make sure we're clear on that. This is building bridges, this is multiplication. It's not addition. It's not the kingdom. We may not get a single person that comes regularly here through that. But that thing may become its own church someday. See, discipleship comes first, then a church. You make disciples, then there's a church. You don't plant a church. You start making disciples, and then, hey, we need a church. Okay, we got some people. Let's have a church. That's our dream. What's young grows faster. That's a way of life. None of this is possible if we allow scarcity and fear to hold us back. Or holding on to that old failed model of only building on one side of the chasm and not on both sides. That's what will get us. We have to watch out for. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's something to contend with right there. You, together, are something to contend with. See, we build bridges. God builds his church. I will build my church. We just got to build bridges. We got to be a bridge. This is a picture of the kingdom of God moving forward at an inevitable pace that we know where it's going to end. That's what that verse is about. The gates of hell cannot even hold it back. I want to read these words as I'm wrapping up. I want to read these words again so that they're fresh in our mind. Let God speak to you through his words. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, our mission is to operate, is to make disciples and operate as reconcilers, bridge builders, and ambassadors. Wherever you are and wherever I go. Our vision is to strategically build bridges into our culture and into the world where there is brokenness and where there's separation from the love and forgiveness and fellowship that we have in Christ. That's what we're supposed to be about. And we're just resetting the target. I'm not really saying anything different than we've been saying for a couple of years now. We just have to be reminded. I need to be reminded because I get weak in the knees too. And this is what God said about me. This is what God said about his church. But being comes first. Yeah, maybe you haven't stepped over the line of faith, and you can't say, I am one in whom Christ dwells, and I live in his unshakable kingdom. Well, that's the place to start, if that's you. If you've got questions about that, I'd love to talk to you about that. Or maybe you know somebody here who's walked with God a long time. Just talk about what does it really mean to have a relationship with God? Secondly, what is God telling you, what is God talking to you about in the area of building bridges? Are you building something with your life, but it really isn't a bridge? What's God speaking to you about? Let me give you a couple of to-dos. Memorize that verse. Challenge God and say, I'm going to put that verse in my heart and in my head, and then I'm going to see what it blows up in my life. I'm going to see what it focuses in my life. Visit one of these tables. This is not the only places to build bridges. We've just teed some up that we think are really powerful and really awesome, and we believe in the leadership of these organizations. Talk to somebody who's gone on a mission trip. Say, what's that like? It scares me. I think I'd like to go, but it scares me. Talk to them about that. And talk to Matt if you feel like God is speaking to you to be a part of this endeavor that we're moving toward, this multiplication effort. I'll end with this. It is time to go. The imperative that God gave. He believes in you. Or he would have just gone himself. But he wants to go within you and see what happens. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you didn't just wind up this universe and then start it off and then go on some celestial vacation. You're actively involved in this world. And you do that through people like us. It is totally surprising that you would choose to do things that way. But you are a benevolent king, and you have a kingdom that is moving forward in a powerful way. Help us to be all the stuff that you know we want us to be and you want us to experience in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us as we